Welcome to our program, Taking Care of Business. It is part of our worldwide Network for Success programming. Taking Care of Business will help you learn how successful managers and business owners manage their businesses, capitalize on opportunities, and overcome adversity. Our objective is to help you understand and apply their insights, then use your expertise in your own business or job so that you can become more successful. Taking Care of Business is sponsored by Consulting Task Force. CTF is a full-service consulting firm known for providing personalized end-to-end business building methods, as well as cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving your business. CTF helps your business grow and prosper. Here's your host, Joe Camara.
Welcome to another edition of SCORE Business Radio. Today we have a very interesting show that is going to involve a couple of guests. Carrie Plank, she's the owner of a business that I'm going to let her describe and tell you the name of. And we're also going to talk with David Bunis for a special reason, because he's very knowledgeable about Carrie's business, and we're going to talk about that as well. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Yep. So I flubbed the name of your business, so maybe we ought to start off with that and tell me what it is.
So I own and operate a certified organic goat dairy farm in the town of Wales, New York, which is in Erie County. And I produce a raw material, the wonderful milk that we produce. We create soaps and skincare products in a line that is branded as Alpine Made. That is the name of my company, Alpine Made.
And is Made spelled M-A-D-E or M-A-I-D?
A lot of people ask that, M-A-D-E. We handcraft the product, so that's where that Made comes from.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the startup. When did you start and how things evolved?
So I purchased my first goats back in 2008. I was raising two little boys in diapers at the time. And I went to the Erie County Fair, came home with a couple of goats, and it was mostly a hobby farm, homestead scenario at my house. I grew a lot of the foods that we ate. I would buy local meats, and I would also make cheese out of the goat's milk that I produced. And shortly after that, a couple years later, because I was an advocate for the organic food industry through purchasing organic foods and supporting that industry, I wanted to become organic, certified organic, because I knew I did not want to go back to work. I wanted to become entrepreneurial in my ventures.
Well. And things have turned out well, I would say.
They have. It was quite the vision from going from three goats, adult goats, to now over 40 animals, and creating an enterprise within such a short period of time, essentially from 2010, not really knowing the type of value-added product I'd be making with my milk, to 2017. Now, I'm in a slew of over 40 different stores and do three different farmers markets every week, and along with various art shows and events throughout the year.
And I understand your first thought about the product you were going to make didn't pan out. How did that unfold?
Well, that was when I had thought that goat's milk would have been wasted if it wasn't made into some sort of a food, such as cheese or yogurt, especially organic goat's milk. I found out that after becoming certified in 2010 that I was one of about 36, 37 certified organic goat dairy farms in the country. And there are reasons behind that, but anyway, not to get into those details. So I knew that I had a niche raw material that I thought was going to become a food. So what I did was I started writing a business plan. I think in 2011 I attended the SCORE Straight Talk series in January of that year, and that SBA and SCORE collaborate with. And I wanted to work a business plan. I wanted to see if I would be able to build what they call a grade A dairy operation in a creamery. Shortly thereafter, I found out that in getting into the business plan, it was not going to be feasible with my resources.
With cheese?
With cheese, correct.
So you made a U-turn, I gather?
I did. I wasn't going to give up. I knew I had something exquisite with this milk. I knew because it was such a rarity to have organic goat's milk. And I also knew I would operate at such a small capacity that I couldn't wholesale the milk and make it work economically for me in the long term. I knew I had to value add that raw material into something different. And I looked at the skincare industry at that point because I knew the effects of goat milk on the skin had tremendous implications for health and wellness.
So I'm a little ahead of myself, but at what point in your business planning did you run into David?
Shortly thereafter, I think early 2012.
I think so.
Yeah. Yep.
And what did he help you with?
At that point, I had a rudimentary business plan with the cheese. I had talked to him about that, but I had been dabbling at that point with making various soaps and modifying the recipes so that I was making a traditional type of soap and excluding the use of water as an ingredient altogether. So at that point, I created this amazing recipe that included 38% goat's milk, which was really unheard of in the industry. It's four times the level of what is typically put into a goat milk mm-hmm. soap that you can buy at the store. So I knew I had a really good product, and at that point, I was in a few farmers markets, I think, and starting to turn some revenues. And I was really at such an early level of business experience that.
And you were on your own.
And I was on my own.
You were doing everything.
Everything. Had no employees. I was doing all the farming, the milking, the processing of the milk, and the production and the sales.
And David, because you're a goat expert, you were able to help Carrie.
Oh, my expertise goes in so many directions. Goat really wouldn't have been one of them, but I've learned. It was really a treat for me to meet Carrie in the first place, and we've become good friends ever since. And I've watched her business grow tremendously, and I'm so proud of her. She's so good at what she does. So I didn't have to know a lot about goats, but I did have some general kind of business experience that I hope was helpful to her.
Well, we're going to explore your business experience in another interview, but maybe you could talk a little bit about the mentoring process. How does that, you're not a goat expert, obviously, neither am I, but we believe we could help a person who's starting a business. How would you do that?
Well, you start off by listening, start off by making an appointment to meet a potential mentee, as we call them. And the most important thing after introducing myself and letting the person know that I'm a volunteer, and that if I'm not the right volunteer for that person, we have 60 other people that we can choose from. And then it's important to ask the key question, how can I be of help to you, and then listen.
And go from there, right?
And usually you go from there, but it's really important that first step is just to listen.
Yeah. And Carrie, your experience with SCORE has evolved. You've done some things that didn't involve being a mentee or a client. Some other things have happened along the way. What tell us about those?
Well, I stuck with my mentorship because I knew that even with learning about business 101 skills from my mentor at the forefront, I knew that things would only get more complicated as the business grew and evolved. So, I like I said, I attended the Straight Talk series, which is an 8-week program. That was tremendous in 2011. And then in 2016, I was afforded the opportunity to talk about my story as a new small emerging business at the Straight Talk series that's held at the Convention Center in Buffalo each January, and it was an hour-long talk. It gave me some confidence in knowing I could talk about what I knew best, the steps involved, what the hurdles were, the perseverance required to continue and see it through.
Well, are you going to be at the Straight Talk in this coming January?
Possibly as a guest speaker, possibly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been invited yet.
Oh. Well, we'll see if we can make that happen.
We know a few people. I should also mention that last year, Carrie's firm was the client of the year for 2016, which we're all very proud of.
And a nice thing that comes along with that, as you develop, as a listener or someone develops a relationship with SCORE, there are PR opportunities like this one that come along that are always beneficial to a small business.
Absolutely. I also work with another organization at Buff State College, which I think SCORE is involved with. SCORE, SBA, and the Small Business Development Center are all work sometimes in unison, and I was able to secure an award with them as well. They offered me like a different perspective on the business side of things, and I would garner information from those mentors and then along with David and kind of glue everything together into that one big jigsaw puzzle that made sense to me.
Yeah, great. So let's go back to your business a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've grown from being a one-person band to having multiple helpers. How did that happen? How did that come about?
So after about the first 3 years, there came a point where I physically couldn't be in every place at every given time. So the first employee I was able to hire was a farm operator, somebody to take over the farm chore aspect. And she's been with me for about 5 years now. And then from then there on, production and levels increased to the point, you know, where we had to build inventory. And then we increased the scope of our product line from 10 soaps to now over 45 different products, which include a line of skincare products we make with our milk. So with that, things got pretty diverse and complicated. So now I have about 6 people at this time of year working for Alpine Maid.
Great. And I understand you have quite a few places where you mentioned initially you started maybe with 3 locations that were farmers markets or whatever. How about now?
I when I started with the farmers markets, that was when I originally launched my website, and it was a completely built, self-built website, and it wasn't professionally done, and I did not have a logo or even a brand at that point. But then as I increased my visibility, that was the first step I took, was to hire a firm to brand me, to name me, and to develop a professional website at alpinemade.com, which now has over 9 pages and over 50 products to choose from, and we ship in the 50 states. I've shipped to Alaska even.
Great.
So that those revenues are make up about 30% of my total retail revenues now.
Wonderful.
Off the website.
Well, again, we're maybe ahead of ourselves, but would you like to tell us the name of your website and how to get in touch with you?
Yes. So it is Alpine Maid, all one word, ALPINEMADE.com.
You want to say it again?
AlpineMade.com.
Great. And we'll probably do it at the end of the show if David reminds me. So we want to make sure if people are interested, they can find you and maybe order something. Talking about ordering things, how would you compare your prices with other competitors in the market?
My pricing is somewhat higher. And there is a reason for that when comparing similar product lines that include the use of goat's milk as an ingredient. Typically, the products made with goat's milk, such as soaps and lotions and creams, contain about 10% on average of that ingredient. So it's further down the line on the list of ingredients. Ours is always the number one ingredient. We developed our recipes to incorporate the chemically the most amount of milk you physically and chemically could add to the products, and there was a reason for that, and then thus equating to the higher price line, because the more milk you put into the products, including the soaps, the more therapeutic that the products end up being for your skin, directly correlated to the milk concentration.
And it feels better too, doesn't it? It's more lather.
More rich. I would say rich. The lather is produced by the fats and oil content or ingredients that we add to our products. However, the richness and the creaminess and the moisturization capabilities is from the milk.
I like the lather. It's great for shaving. That's all I shave with. That's why I have no wrinkles on my face.
Sounds good.
At this terrible age.
It's not a terrible age. You are not your age. You are 10, 20 years younger.
That's because he works out all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard anyway. Right?
No, actually, you've hit a sore spot.
There was an article in one of the papers I get about this very thing. A guy burns his money monthly because he doesn't work out. He figures that that might keep him in good shape. So anyway, there are lots of us that don't work out. I don't know if he literally does that, but that's what he says. He may have a gym membership and not go. That's probably what the
that's
reality
what, yeah.
is.
Yeah, I would think.
Tell us about the challenge of getting a product in a large organization like Wegmans.
So I was very fortunate to know a very dear friend of mine who worked for Wegmans for a couple of decades. Her name is Georgia Brooks, and she was a neighbor of mine and a very dear friend. And she had since retired, and one morning she says, you know, I was invited to breakfast with one of the vice president of Wegmans. He's a good friend of mine. And she stopped by my house and she says, put together a little package for me with your business card. A year later, we were in our first two stores, and now today we're in 7 stores, going on 10 by the year end.
Well, but in between that year, mm-hmm. what did you have to do? There's quite a challenge, right?
There is quite a challenge. It's about, I would say, 9 months to almost 12 months of a quality assurance program you have to graduate from. And essentially, you send every a full-size sample and the recipes along with those product samples to their quality assurance people in Rochester, which is their headquarters. Mm-hmm. And they test them, they look at the labels. The labels have to be perfect. The labels have to be perfect. They have to have not only the SKU codes added, but they have to follow all of the rules that the U.S. government puts mm-hmm. forth.
David, you want to talk about SKU codes?
Absolutely. I was hoping you'd ask. SKU is SKU, and it stands for Stock Keeping Unit, which is a very old term. Even when I was in business at the sample, we used SKU, and it became digitized. The SKU is a number, and it gets digitized, which means it can be scanned, and it's how you control your inventory.
And you probably use a barcode system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
UPC or SKU, you can use interchangeably. They had to all be added to our labels.
Right. So listeners who think that they might want to have their product or service in a large organization may have to go through many hurdles to achieve that. But once they do, if you're doing a good job, then you often have a chance to expand throughout the organization.
And you're labeling the product according to their requirements.
Their requirements, which are according to the U.S. government requirements, which usually consist of either USDA labeling guidelines or the Food and Drug Administration guidelines.
And their code numbers, their inventory control numbers, SKU numbers, mm-hmm. they give them to you?
They have their own set, and then I have my own set. So there's a double set of numbers that go towards every product of my particular product line, which...
But when they scan at the cash register, they have to scan their number.
They scan my number, which is linked to their number, because they've linked it at the headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. Obviously, you've kept your large customers happy. How do you retain your business with the smaller customers that might be ordering online or contacting you locally?
So the large box store that we recently got into, Wegmans, and hopefully we'll be expanding with, that's not the only store that we're limited to. We started out getting into smaller retailers, which were a big part of our wholesale business up until last year. And I think there are over 40 stores, including the Wegmans stores, that we're in, that in Western New York, local. And we deliver as they call us for orders, and we also we call them on occasion, especially around the holiday season, to see if they want to get any extra inventory in.
do you often a retail food chain will have somebody doing sampling? Have you done any sampling?
We call them demos. Yep, great. Demonstrations where we go to those particular stores, whether they're the smaller stores or the larger stores. We set up our little table right next to our display or where our product line is located, and we hand out samples. Correct.
I think that's a very effective thing. And again, if somebody's listening and they haven't thought about doing that, it's a no matter where you go to provide a sample of your product or service, it's a real good thing.
It also affords you the opportunity to give a little education on the product line as well.
Sure. I really want to focus on retention of customers. Do you do anything special to keep your small customers? I don't mean the stores, but your individual customers. Do you do anything special to encourage them to come back and buy again?
Absolutely. At our retail markets, local retail markets, our farmers markets, and our art shows and holiday events, we offer bulk pricing. So if you do, you can do a mix and match of any four particular items at a certain price level and get a discount by buying in bulk. And on our website, we offer free shipping with a $75 purchase or more. And typically when you buy, that might mean 7 to 8 soaps and or a skincare product and 5 or 6 soaps. So you could stock up essentially and get free shipping.
So if perchance I were listening to this program in Utah and I wanted to buy something, what would be the smallest unit of purchase that I could make? Just one bar, or is it?
You can buy one bar, but what most customers do is the standard shipping rate, the minimum purchase is you have to pay $7.15. That's the standard flat rate box that the U.S. Postal Service allows, and so you can add 3 products to that box, and most people figure that out upon checkout. You know, what's the biggest bang for my shipping buck?
That's a good question. I like to always ask something like that, is how do you get the best value for your investment? And that's a good answer. Have there been obstacles that you've encountered in the growth of your business?
Absolutely. There were 2 separate major hurdles actually 3. The number one had to do with government regulations. I fought back in 2013 for 3 full years the right to have my business as a right to farm operation in a location within Erie County designated as an agriculture district. So I actually got the Farm Bureau, the local chapter, Erie County Farm Bureau involved, and the State Farm Bureau, as well as the New York State Ag and Markets people that represent these small farms that get hindered by local governments and their home rural terminology. I was told I was not a legitimate business from the get-go, even though I had already been certified organic. I was making the gross revenue marks for agriculture tax assessment, and they were telling me that I couldn't have more than 6 goats. I fought that for 3 years. And it put a big toll on my ability to move forward. I do still have somewhat of a bad taste in my mouth from it, but I persevered. The state backed us, and the township had to essentially give me the right to do my operation. And in fact, my other hurdle was we expanded so quickly, we needed to find a new location. Well, we found a new location, literally two doors down with 5 acres, a building that offered me 4 times the space to move into, and the land base actually was contiguous with our own farm land base. So it was an operation that we were expanding to without really changing the contiguity of the land mass. And we had to do the whole process over again. This time I hired a lawyer. This was January of 2017. $5,000 later, they finally gave us the second permit to be able to do what I had fought for 3 years ago. So you can feel in the inflection of my voice that I have had quite a bit of hurdle at the government level, and it did leave a bad taste in my mouth. But what my point is that as a small business, you are going to have these hurdles, but don't give up. If this is your vision, this is your goal, there's always going to be a way as the little person to fight these big organizations.
David. Your other hurdle, which you have handled so well over the years, is capital. You have figured out a way to raise capital using whatever resources you knew were available. And you should be very proud of that.
Very proud. I worked with the USDA on two grants. I've received two grants for farming, the farming infrastructure aspect, and then I've received my first USDA business loan to build some buildings I really needed to expand with. And then I was able to secure a loan with the Erie County Industrial Development Association, the ECIDA, which is a nonprofit organization geared towards helping small businesses, women and minority-owned businesses as well, get funding at a interest level that is affordable.
Great. Well, we're getting close to being at the end, but I want to ask an important question. What advice would you give to other people who are thinking or are just in the beginning of starting their small business? What would you tell them?
You have, at the beginning of an idea, you have a vision. You can almost see what you want to envision and what your goals are, kind of like a painted picture, at least in my mind. I can envision like 10 years down the road, how many goats, a production facility with people to support it, and a great product line, and then me on the road a lot selling the line. I could envision that, but there's such a long haul and a long road from point A to that end vision, and along the way, you just have to keep that end vision in sight and always reflect on it in order to get through these hurdles that every small business owner is going to encounter.
This has been a 9-year journey, has
pretty
it not?
Much.
Pretty much.
From 2008. Yeah.
It's a long road.
Long road.
Well, and you're lucky you're still in business. A lot of businesses fail long before 9 or 10 years.
For sure. Most of them.
Yeah. Well, we're almost done. Tell us again how to get in touch with you.
You may call. My name is Carrie Plank. I'm 100% woman, minority-owned business. My farming background comes from two generations back, where my grandfather was a rancher, not in this country, and he immigrated and gave me the opportunity as a first-generation American to start my own farm. And you can contact me at 716-430-9928. As well as visit my website at alpinemade.com, and there's a form to contact me on the website.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure. David?
If you have a successful business and would like to participate in a future program, call 575-RESULT-6 any time of the day or night. Taking Care of Business is sponsored by Consulting Task Force. CTF is a full-service management consulting firm known for providing personalized end-to-end business-building methods, as well as cost-saving tools and techniques focused on improving your business. CTF helps your business grow and prosper. If you missed some or all of our show, you may view it again by logging into our website. This free sign-in provides you with many benefits. Just visit www.network.